And I want us to stand tonight. We need to honor the man of God. Brother Groves is over many preachers. He has a network of preachers throughout the United States. And he is going to come and bless us tonight. Reverend Timothy Groves, he's the father of four, has a beautiful wife. And I know he misses her on Valentine's Day. But let's honor the man of God and open our hearts as he comes right now. Can we praise the Lord for that? Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I want to say thank you to James Holmgren, who's in the back there. Wave at everybody, James. This is King James. He's the authorized version, and he has been traveling with me since January 6th. In fact, when we're done with this trip, he will have traveled with me for 10 months, and he did 2 months out west with me in fall of 2019, and then 3 months down south in 2020, and then 2 months out the Midwest in 2020, and now on this trip with me. And I appreciate so much him helping, being just a helpmate as I go on the road. I don't like to travel by myself. I like to always have somebody with me. And like Paul, he traveled with people and mentor them on the way. And so I know Andrew traveled with me in the beginning stages of me branching out and doing some ministry. He did a lot of traveling with me. We put a lot of miles on the van together. And so I appreciate James doing that. James is one of our Kingdom Builders Network credentialed ministers as well. He just got his license back in December 20th. And so we're excited about what God is doing in his life. And so he just, when you see him out there at the table, just let him know that you appreciate him. He'll help you get my new book. Well, this is my newest one. This is my second devotional book called 2 Minutes with Him. Pastor, did you get a chance to read him today? You didn't. You're supposed to read and give me a review tonight. So I have to tell you, it's good. And it's not good because I wrote it. It's good because the Holy Ghost wrote it. Amen. So Pastor Ricky, this is your copy. If you want it autographed later on, let me know. I know Pastor asked for autographed copy. So we also, as I was telling you today about the restoration home that we do, there is a jar on the table that if you give a donation of any amount, you can pick up a free gift. James, I give that to you. And that money just goes towards that program, helping these guys be able to go into the home and not be charged at all, to be able to get free from drugs and alcohol and discipled in the word. Amen. Something that we need today more of. Amen. We need strong men in the church. Listen, we got to have strong men. Amen. There's a real attack on masculinity in our society today. And so I believe that if a man is strong, he's strong in the Lord, then his family will be strong. Amen. And the church will be strong and the community will be strong. And it all goes back to the basis of the foundation of the family. Amen. And so we're excited about what God is doing. Thank you so much, Pastor, for opening up the door and allowing us to come, taking a risk on a Yankee like me, but hoping I get a chance to come back. Take your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. I believe this is a word not only for the church of America. I believe it's not just this church, but it's a word for the church all over America. Amen. And my prayer for this message tonight is that we really have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying through this message. Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time. I want everybody to say it like an old Church of God preacher. High time. Come on. Right? To awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. My friends, I don't believe we're living in the last days. I believe we're living in the last moments of the last days. And I believe the times of playing games with God is over. I believe the time of riding the fence is over. I believe God is shaking his church so that we are forced to pick a side. Amen. Listen, we're either on the Lord's side or we're on the devil's side. There is no in between. And I believe God is turning up the heat and purifying his church. He is preparing his bride for his return. He is separating the chaff from the wheat. He is separating the faithful from the faithless. And he is getting the church so that it is without spot and without wrinkle and without blemish. I believe God has been warning us of what is happening through the prophets. I really do believe that. And not just the prophets, but through the word of God, which is a sure word of prophecy. Amen. I don't know if you know this, but there was one prophet who prophesied in September of 2019 that the world was going to face a worldwide plague in 2020. Specifically said that. Yeah, we've seen that happen. Folks, God is saying these things not to catch us off guard. He's trying to warn us and prepare us for what is coming. God is wanting his church to be the salt and to be the light in these times of decay and darkness. And my friends, it is high time for the saved and the sanctified to rise up and not run away. Come on, we got to step up and not stand down. Amen. We have to realize that when we are in Christ, we are never in crisis. But look at what's happening in the earth today. Specifically, look at what's happening in America. Come on. This virus has caused a pandemic. We've watched people hoard supplies. Borders have been closed. Travel has been restricted. People are living in fear like never before. We're watching our rights get taken away. We're witnessing the media lie to the American people for political purposes. We're watching big tech squash free speech of many Americans. Some states are still under a stay-home order. Some states are being forced to wear masks, even in their own homes, and now even double masks. Now, folks, I understand the world being afraid because they fear dying. They fear dying not knowing Jesus. But hear me when I tell you this, there is way too much fear in the house of God. Way too much fear in the house of God. We've got Christians that seem to be just as afraid as the world. So many are running scared, they're panicking, and they're acting like God has just tested positive for COVID. But I want you to hear me tonight, because I'm not trying to condemn anybody. I'm not here to beat anybody up. I'm just here on assignment by God to challenge each of us, to stir us up and to get us to think about some stuff, because too many of us are being dominated by fear. Bible tells us God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and a sound, disciplined mind. I'm telling you, fear is a spirit. And it's got to be cast off and cast out. Amen? Listen, when it comes to fear, F-E-A-R, you can forget everything and run. Or you can face everything and rise. You can forget everything and run, or you can face everything and rise. The Bible says this, that which is not of faith is sin. Do you know that? That which is not of faith is sin. That means anything that I do where the motivation behind me doing it is fear, I'm operating in sin. Now, do I think that it's wise for me to have extra food and supplies on hand in case of an emergency? Well, absolutely. Do I need to do that preparation in fear? Absolutely not. I can prepare without fear. Amen. Folks, I can practice good hygiene without fear. I can walk in wisdom without fear. Let me tell you what the motto of the church today needs to be: no fear here. We don't fear sickness. We don't fear disease. We don't fear finances. We don't fear the future. Our confidence is in the Lord. We walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by fear. We walk by faith and not by our feelings or what we can see, right? Philippians tells us, be anxious for nothing. Unless it's a worldwide pandemic, then you better really be scared. Is that what the scripture says? No, it says be anxious for nothing. No fear, no anxiety, no worrying, no fretting, no stressing. You say that's impossible. I tell you what, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. With God, all things are possible, and all things are possible to them that believe. Do you remember what Jesus said? He said he's given us all power and authority over the enemy, and he said nothing shall by any means hurt us. But folks, I'm here to tell you something has happened in the Church of America. There has been a disconnect somewhere. Instead of us being led by the Spirit of the Lord, many are being driven by the spirit of fear. And it's got to change. Amen. Let me read Romans 13:11 again. And do this, knowing the time. Do you know what time it is? Do you know what time it is in God's prophetic clock? That now it is high time to awake out of sleep. folks, this tells me that we as Christians can fall asleep in our faith. Amen. Now, I know there's a big controversy in the church about sipping saints, right? Honey, I'm more concerned about the sleeping saints than I am the sipping saints. Amen. Because we got too many in the church that have been lulled to sleep on the lap of the enemy like Samson was on the lap of Delilah. Church, I'm telling you, we're living in a time where we've got to shake ourselves free from this apathy, this lethargy, this complacency, and this hypocrisy. Somebody once said America's greatest problem is apathy, but who cares anyhow? We need God to wake us up and shake us up so one day he can take us up. Amen? Amen. But why now? Why is it high time? Because it's not just time. It's high time. Why? Keep reading. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Did you hear that? Our salvation, our deliverance, our glorification is soon approaching, and we can't be asleep and missing it. Remember the parable about the 10 virgins? They were all virgins. They were all chaste. They were all pure. We could say it this way. They were all saved. But five were wise, and they kept the fire burning. Amen? But five were foolish and failed to act. And my heart is breaking for this lukewarm, seemingless, powerless church that we have in our nation today. Folks, the American church is a lot like the Israelites of old. They worship God, but they worshiped other false gods as well. And let me tell you one thing this virus is doing is it's tearing down a whole lot of idols that Christians have been worshiping at. Come on. Like the idols of Hollywood movies, the idols of sports, the idols of music, and yes, even our entertaining strobe-like fog machine worship services. A lot of those are being stripped away as well. Amen? These things are being destroyed. It's sad that too many churches today have all become all about coffee beans, smoke machines, and skinny jeans. Huh? But I'm telling you what, God is raising up a remnant, and the remnant is crying out, where is the God of Elijah? Whatever happened to the power of God on display? Where is the old time power hour of prayer in our churches once again? What happened to tearing at the altars and praying through to victory? Where are the signs, the wonders, and the miracles that the scripture said should follow them that believe? Remember the words of Jesus, lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. He didn't say shun the sick, run from the sick, or isolate yourself from the sick. He said, heal the sick. And I'll take it a step further. He even said, go heal the lepers. Jesus said, violate the standards of quarantine in order to touch those people and get them healed. Now, I know this may be controversial. This make some people uncomfortable. That's okay. Folks, we have to face our current condition and be confronted by our current reality. And that is the American church has failed to walk in New Testament obedience, and we have failed to see New Testament results. The majority of the American church has become a social club, a bless me club, a place of networking instead of a place of prayer and power. Now listen, we've had a lot of pastors and teachers bringing forth the word in the church, but I believe very few have been receiving and listening. Now, what I think we need more of in our churches today are true apostles and prophets. I believe we need more of them in our churches today. Folks, there was a reason that the early church was not led by pastors. If the early church was led by pastors, we wouldn't have gotten out of the first century. God used apostles and prophets to lead the early church. Why? Because they are gifted to lead in the face of adversity and persecution. Every one of the 11 apostles of Jesus all died a martyr's death, except for John. But history tells us John was thrown into a vat of boiling oil, and when he would not die, they banished him to an island of Patmos with a bunch of murderers and rapists. Now listen, I'm going to say something that may ruffle the feathers, but we've already collected the offering. Hallelujah. But let me just say this. I believe the church needs the offices of apostles and prophets now more than ever before. Why? Because they're not afraid to go where God says go. Even though there's danger, even though there's risk, even though there's persecution. Why? They're not afraid to do what God tells them to do. Amen? They're not afraid of what the people will say. They are not swayed by what the sheep might want. They will go forth in tenacity, following the orders of heaven, despite what the circumstances look like. I mean, just look at Paul. Beaten, stoned, shipwrecked, left for dead, and yet he'd go right back at it. Why? Because he was an apostle on his heavenly assignment. Now, he probably had the option to stay in a safe place somewhere, some nice hotel, write some letters to the church. But he couldn't do that. He was compelled by his office and his calling. And listen, I understand that in our society today, especially in America, there's been a lot of misunderstanding about apostles and prophets. Come on. But isn't that how the devil works? Anytime God brings a revelation designed to set his people free, the devil builds a controversy around it. Come on, he's done it with healing. He's done it with faith. He's done it with prosperity. He's done it with speaking in tongues. Come on, how many know there's a bunch of snake handlers and strychnine drinkers out there that talk in tongues? Well, then we should probably never talk in tongues ever again. Because somebody else has abused it, right? Well, of course not. We don't stop walking in a revelation that God gave us because somebody else abused it. And folks, we don't shoot apostles and prophets and say, we don't need you. Come on, we got Pentecostal people that say, well, we don't believe in any modern day apostles and prophets any longer. Well, you're no worse than the Baptists who say that tongues isn't for today. Come on. Ephesians 4:11 says God gave all five until we come into the unity of the faith. And honey, we ain't in the unity of the faith, so we need all five. Amen? Amen. Let me put it to you this way. If you break your foot, you go to a kidney doctor. Do you? No. You go to a foot doctor, right? If I have cancer, do I go to an ear, nose, and throat doctor? No. Well, why not? They're all doctors. But maybe, just maybe, some of them are specifically trained in a different area of practice, which makes them become a specialist in that area. Amen? Folks, it's the same way in the fivefold. Listen, the foot doctor is no better than the kidney doctor. And the oncologist is no better than the ear, nose, and throat. It all depends on what issue you have. Come on. That's going to be the person that's most important at the time. God has given apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And one is not better than the other. Now, there may be an order of priority. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Which one's better? But we say what? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Right? In building a house, I need a foundation, I need a floor, I need walls, I need a roof, right? But which order do I need them in? I mean, they're all important, right? But you got to lay certain things first. So the fivefold ministry, they're all important, but God says there's a priority in the order in which they come. Apostles and prophets come and lay the foundation so the evangelists, pastors, and teachers can build upon it. Amen? So they all have a certain skill set. And I'm telling you, with the condition of the American church that we're in right now, we need more apostles and prophets flowing in their skill set, just like we had in the early church. It was Paul, an apostle, who said, I don't want to come with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. And I'm praying, God, give us in these last days, Church of America, give us a fresh baptism of the fire of the Holy Ghost. Give us a fresh revelation of the power of God and remind us that what God has done in the past, he will do today because his power has not waned. In Maine, we sing a song. I don't know if you sing it down here, but we sing a song where the words go like this. I know the power of God is just the same today, and it doesn't matter what the people say. Whatever God has promised, he's able to perform. I know the power of God is just the same today. My question is, do you really believe that? I mean, is it a head knowledge or is it a heart knowledge? I'm asking, folks, because God is bringing a separation to the church. He is separating those that are playing games with God from those who are truly hungry for Him. He is dividing between the religious and the righteous. And folks, mark my words. Mark my words. We are going to see in the churches of America, we are going to see the churches become polarized. And it is not going to be a polarization of politics. It is not going to be a polarization of skin color. It is going to be a polarization of passion versus program. A polarization of those that want supernatural from those that want superficial. A polarization of God's word versus man's opinion. A separation of divine wisdom from human reasoning. A dividing between New Testament leadership versus religious traditional leadership. And I'm telling you, in these last days, there are going to be those churches who want to play the religious patty cake game with God, have the form of godliness but deny the power thereof, maintain the status quo, don't ruffle the feathers, no surprises, no moving of the spirit, just fine religious programming that will soothe the guilty soul for just another week. We're going to watch those churches, and we're going to watch those denominations begin to die off. And folks, some of them are not even going to survive our current crisis. But then I believe God is going to raise up churches that are filled with passionate Jesus lovers who want to grab a hold of the horns of the altar and not let go until they've had a power encounter with God. Churches that don't care what denominational label is over the door. They don't care if they're meeting in a fancy building, some storefront, or some old barn. They just want to get in His presence with other believers of like precious faith. And I'm telling you, these churches are going to be different. You're going to find their governmental structure is going to be different. How they flow in the spirit is going to be different. How the leadership is structured is going to be different. They will not be program driven. They will be passion driven. They will not be hung up on law. They will be walking in grace. They will not be operating out of the fear of man, but faith in God. They are not going to care about the sacred cows of the church. They're just going to let the fire of God fall and have a good old fashioned barbecue. Amen. And I'm telling you what, these churches are going to flow in the gifts of the spirit. Signs, wonders, and miracles are going to be so prevalent in these churches, it will be second nature. And folks, it's going to be these churches that are going to usher in the last day's harvest. Because these churches aren't going to be caught up in a bunch of intramural fighting and jealousy. Competition wars won't be found amongst them. Bitterness about somebody else succeeding in ministry will not be there. Rather, they're going to walk in love and unity. They're not going to be fighting for preeminence because they're giving God all the glory. And the leaders of these churches will recognize fivefold ministry and will share the pulpit with different fivefold gifts so the saints can be equipped and empowered. These churches aren't going to have what I call Lone Ranger mentality. They're going to have a team mentality, and they're going to work together as a team. These churches won't be playing political games that we see played in so many churches and denominations. No, these churches are going to be different for sure. And folks, I don't know about anybody else, but that's the kind of church I want to belong to. Amen? Amen. That's the kind of church I want to identify with. And friends, I believe that it could start today. I believe that we can be the church that will take God at His word. I believe we can be the church that can run through the troop and leap over a wall. I believe that we can be the church that knows that no weapon formed against us will prosper. I believe that we can be the church that goes through the flood and does not drown, that walks through the fire and is not burned. I believe we can be the early church once again if we want to be. Because God's not stopping us. He is inviting us. And I believe that God is giving us a platform in these last days to see Him move mightily. Because folks, whenever there seems to be a crisis, this is the time for the church to shine the brightest. I'm telling you what, these days of uncertainty we're living in, this is fertile ground for miracles, signs, and wonders. Amen? I mean, just think about it. How many numerous scriptures and moments in history have shown us that when there was a crisis, and the people of God stepped out in faith and obedience to what God said, the miraculous happened. Huh? What about the Red Sea experience? Huh? Pastor Moses has his congregation up against the Red Sea, and God's moving the army in from behind. God's got him in a between a rock and a hard place. Amen? And what does Moses do? He listens to what God says. God says, lift your rod. Oh, I'm sure the pastoral leadership committee probably says, Moses, you sipping on that communal wine again? What do you mean, lift your stick? That ain't going to do nothing. As foolish as it sounded, he obeyed the word of the Lord, and the Red Sea parted, and they walked through on dry ground. Amen? Remember those walls of Jericho? God said, here's the plan. March around them. Woo! And keep your mouth shut while you do it. Huh? You don't think the people on top of those walls weren't taunting them, you stupid Israelites? You think you're walking around is going to do something to us? This is the most secure place in all the world. But they walked in obedience to the foolish thing that God said do, and the walls came down. Remember Gideon and his army? Oh, Gideon, your army is too big. Shrink it down. Shrink it down. Shrink it down. They're down to 300 men. That the Bible says is going up against an army is as numerable as the sands of the sea. And I can just imagine somebody was saying, Pastor Gideon, you are foolish to risk the lives of your people. This plan is going to be foolish. How many pastors heard people say that? Pastor, you're foolish to have church in the midst of a pandemic. Pastor, you're foolish to have in-person gatherings. You're risking the lives of your people. But Gideon heard the word of the Lord, and he walked in obedience to the word of the Lord, and victory came. Amen? Amen. Remember the feeding of the 5,000? People had not eaten for 3 days. You talk about a crisis. Honey, some of you miss a meal, and you're turning into a monster and need a Snicker bar. You know what I'm talking about? These people had not eaten for 3 days. And the disciples gave the logical response. Send them to Subway and let them get their own lunch. Right? It was logical. Jesus didn't go with what was logical. He went with what the Father said. He heard what the Father said. Amen? And when the disciples stepped out in faith at the word of the Lord, the miracle took place. Oh, folks, I could stand here and tell you stories all day. It is no different today. While the world is moving in fear, the church needs to move in faith. When the world is hoarding supplies, we are healing the sick. And when the world says you're being foolish, we say, no, we're being faithful, for we have ears to hear what the Spirit of God has said, and we're walking in obedience. Don't be afraid to step out and trust God at his word, because he won't fail you. And when somebody asks you the question, well, aren't you afraid of this virus? Aren't you afraid you're going to get sick? You tell them, no way, I'm in covenant relationship with Jesus, and by his stripes, I'm healed. I'm dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God, and no plague is coming nigh my dwelling. Folks, we serve a God who is alive and not dead, and this is our moment to shine. Let us expect that God is setting us up for miracles. He's setting us up for souls to be saved. Folks, this is what we've been praying for. We have been crying out for revival. We have been praying for this, and our time is finally come. How many times have we said, oh God, shake the church? Well, it's shaken. How many times have we said, oh God, make the people realize that they can't make this on their own. Make them dependent on you. Oh, they realizing it. Come on. The stage has been set. What the enemy intended for evil, to bring fear, come on, and to kill people. What he intended, God is going to use it as a platform for the church to stand out. Amen? This is the time for God to show up and show off. It's high time. Is God setting the stage for us? Yes. Is God taking COVID, which the devil sent to use for the church to shine? Yes. Is all of this happening as a result of our prayers being answered? Yes, I believe so. Because sometimes our prayers don't get answered the way we thought. Huh? I mean, how often have we prayed for revival? How often have we prayed for the lost to get saved? Folks, it's time for the church to begin to move in the power of God once again. And the stage has been set for this to happen. I was sharing with this with the people at lunch today. The last great awakening that took place in America was known as the Jesus Movement. It took place in the late 1960s, early 1970s. This was the great awakening where all the hippies got saved. Huh? Wave at me if you lived through that. Yeah, it's like a fan up here. Ooh, come on. Huh? All them hippies getting saved, right? Can I just tell you what the conditions were in America when that great awakening took place and see if it sounds familiar today? Number one, there was a worldwide pandemic going on. Did you know that? Woodstock, with its nearly 100,000 participants, was held in the midst of a Hong Kong virus, a worldwide pandemic, which killed over 1 million people worldwide and over 100,000 Americans, yet we didn't social distance and we didn't wear masks. Number two, the streets were filled with young people who were angry and protesting. Does that sound familiar? Three, there was rioting in the streets, buildings were being burned, and bombs were going off. Does that sound familiar? Four, there was a lot of racial unrest and racial tensions were at an all-time high. Sound familiar? Five, there were unjust killings. Martin Luther King Jr., JFK, Bobby Kennedy. And number six, there was a lot of government corruption. Can somebody say drain the swamp? Does any of that sound like today? Yeah. Folks, I believe the church is ripe for another spiritual awakening, and we cannot sit back and be silent any longer. We cannot be dry, dead, stale, mundane. It cannot be church as usual. It's high time, church, for us to awake out of our spiritual slumber and realize the times we are living in, because the trumpet is being lifted to the lips of the archangel. And what we must do quickly. We must work while it is yet day, for the night is coming when no man can work. The songwriter said it this way: my house is full, but my fields are empty. Who will go and work for me today? We got to resign ourselves to the fact that the Church of America will never be the same again. And I pray it doesn't, because the Church of America was broken. Andrew, if you just begin to come to the piano. Do you know that the statistics of how many people got saved in America for 2019 was this? Every church in America won one soul once a year. Every church in America won one soul once a year. There's about 400,000 churches in America, and about 400,000 people got saved in 2019. Friend, that is broken. That is a church that is broken. I do not want to see the church go back to the way it was. Amen. Listen, when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, remember the story, what happened there? All those plagues? Remember, none of the plagues came upon the Israelites except the last one. So when everything else in Egypt was getting destroyed, the land of Goshen, which was a part of Egypt, the land of Goshen was still green and lush. Right? So when the Israelites moved out, went through the Red Sea and journeyed, they got to a certain place where they started saying, oh, for the leeks and the garlics and the cucumbers of Egypt. Oh, slavery wasn't that bad. Let's go back. If only somebody would have told them, there's nothing to go back to. Because where do you think the surviving Egyptians moved to when they moved out of Goshen? They moved into Goshen because the Bible says there wasn't a green thing left in Egypt except the land of Goshen. So how was their cattle going to survive? See, God couldn't destroy that nation completely. He needed his son to live there for a while. So he spared a portion of the land. So all the Egyptians that survived the 10 plagues, they moved to the land of Goshen until the rest of the nation came back to life. If they would have gone back, they would have found somebody else driving their car, somebody else sleeping in their bed, somebody else living in their home. You can never go back, but you can always go forward. Amen? And God doesn't want us to go back to the bondage of tradition and religiosity. He wants us to move forward into the new wine. Amen? It's high time. Are you ready? Would you stand to your feet with me? If I ask the question, how many of you tonight want the new wine that God's pouring out? I bet all of you would say, me, me. But where does new wine get poured into? How do you get a new wineskin? Something's got to die. Come on. Some sheep, some goat, some cow has to die so you can get the hide. Animals were not offering their hides for free. You had to kill the animal, right? Skin off the hide. Then you had to stretch it, tan it, pierce it, sew it. Painful process. Painful process. We're all wanting the new wine, but nobody really wants to be the new wineskin. Come on, some of our ideas have to die. Some of our traditions have to die. Some of our comforts have to die. Some of us are so used to having church a certain way that we're not sure we could have it any other way. That stuff's got to die. We got to be prepared to say, God, what's the new thing that you want to do? Amen? What's the new thing that you want to do? Because I believe, like I said today, it's a new season. And I believe it wants to make you into a new wineskin. Now, we're going to do something a little different tonight. And I'm going to tell you the reason I'm doing it. And what I'm about to tell you is not about title or make me look superior. So please don't take it that way. But I just want to explain to you. The office that God has called me to is that of an apostle. Now, that's not anything I conferred upon myself. No more did I confer the pastor title upon myself when I pastored. Somebody else put that title on me, all right? That office of apostle in my life has been called forth by several other apostles and confirmed upon me, and the fruits of that office are in my ministry and in my life. But one thing that apostles do is we help call forth and bring forth giftings in people and help set people in order so that they can go on and do what God called them to do. Remember how Philip got Simon the sorcerer saved, but Peter got him set in order. See, there's different giftings for different reasons, right?